John 19, 28. John 19, 28.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
I thirst. So Jesus offered this prayer, knowing that the worst of the hard times of his life was now behind him. Now, Jesus here, everything that Jesus had done up to that point was for somebody else. It was in somebody else's part. Now, Jesus here, he becomes mindful of his own needs. Just like an athlete in a course of a game, this athlete might be wounded, he might be injured, a broken finger. I've even seen broken ankles, feet. There's a breakage in a bone. That athlete was probably wounded. That athlete was probably injured. But in the moments of life, the adrenaline and everything that was going on towards the moment of the game caused that person to be able to overcome the pains, the injuries that might have been sustained. How many have ever heard of an athlete being injured to the point to where he or she were injured, but yet they continued playing? Then afterwards, they come and you hear things like he was playing with a broken finger. He was playing with Josh Allen last week during the game, whoever they played. The commentator comes up, and they were there in and they had some players that were giving some commentary afterwards. They said, he's there, he's bleeding, they're bandaging him up, they're cleaning him up, he's blowing all this blood, all these things are going on, and he goes back out, he just puts little tissues into his nose, and he goes out and he plays the game. He's playing the game. He's injured, and he is still there. And afterwards, he says, my nose, it kind of had to be put back. See, even so, Jesus had been so much thinking about everybody else that he didn't think about his own pains, his own concerns. He, at this point, had the needs of others before his own needs. He had been concerned for those who were immediately close to him. Concerned about those enemies to whom he had prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For the man who gave the appeal to be remembered, today you will be with me in paradise. He was concerned about his mother. He was concerned about his disciples. Jesus was wearing, Jesus was wearing the burdens of not only himself, but upon the whole world, upon his shoulders. Now, as things begin to wind down, now he begins to think about himself. Now things begin, and he's now thinking about himself. Give me a second, please. See, many of those who are suffering today, they will forget much about their own pains, their own agonies, their own distresses, if they would become interested in somebody else's life. You know, but today we have things like YOLO. Amen? Listen, I tell my kids that when they start talking to me these days, I said, you're just talking like we used to talk back in our days. You just now changed the meaning of some of the things, but it's all the same. But YOLO, you only live once. Listen, what YOLO says is you have to think about yourself. Because in yourself, you're only going to live one life. And if you don't live for your life, you're going to miss out on the things that are there in front of you. And you only get one opportunity. But if we were to think about other people's, we would not find ourselves. Listen, am I saying to ignore the things that you go to? No. Am I saying you cannot think about what you are going through? No. But when you begin and you now fixate your life upon somebody else's life, now you find more interest in other people than in what you don't have the scope fixed on your life only. Listen to what one man said. One man said, it is wonderful how an effort to dry the tears of a neighbor will cleanse our cheeks of a painful rain. We come in and, listen, we all go through many different things in life. How many know that? Every single one of us can write a list of, Pastor, this is my life right now. And you're still writing. It's wonderful how an effort to dry the tears of a neighbor will cleanse our own cheeks of a painful rain. Listen. If we would just have a concern for somebody else instead of just YOLO you. See, the pains that Jesus was suffering, it was not so much. Jesus was able to withstand the pains that he was going through. But now it became mental and it became spiritual. Can I tell you the wounds that you and I receive in a physical form are nothing compared to what we face in a mental or a spiritual. See, death by crucifixion, it was the most painful motive of torture. See, you can possibly think of many different ways to die. You know, when I was younger, they had a thing called the electric chair. I would, when I was back in the days when we had the TV that you had to turn, those old folks, or older, more mature folks, you would only, you would turn to some of the stations and they would have a, they would have some of those, listen, it was when they had them on live TV sometimes, and you would sit there and they would have it, or you would watch a movie and they would be there. And it was, that was painful. But it was nothing compared to what being crucified and put upon the cross. Because everything about you was painful. And it wasn't an instant death. It was a long standing, painful, agonizing death that lasted hours. And then afterwards, once they would be there and they would get tired, what they would do is they would break your bones so that you would not be able to fixate and exhale, and then you would just die. They loved to see you in a painful way. See, that was the most painful mode of torture that a man could receive. The fact that Jesus was thirsty, it gave us a picture of the suffering. Listen to me, folks, the suffering that Jesus was going through. Hunger may be painful, but there's nothing compared to when you are dying of thirst. You know, I could never, ever say that I was to that point, but I've been close to where I was so dehydrated that I didn't even have spit in my mouth to be able to spit out. I couldn't, I was there, and it was like me blowing air. First time I went, the first time that I did the incline with my kids, I said to myself, it's not going to be that long, so I'm not going to take any water. But then, see, there's always the but then moment. But then I was up there waiting on the top of the hill for my wife and my kids, that it just became longer and longer and longer. And what should have taken probably, I told my kids and I told my wife, I said, we'll be down by around 10 o'clock. It was past 2 o'clock and we were still not down. And then I got prideful. I asked my daughter for some water. She said, Dad, you should have brought some up yourself. I only have some for me. So guess what Dad said? Forget you then. I'm not going to take your water. So now I could have had at least a little bit of water, but because I got prideful, now I had no water. That I started having pain in my stomach. Listen to me. It was getting to the point to where it could have been close to a medical, possibly emergency, if I was not careful. But here I am. We're down at the bottom. My daughter tells me again, Dad, do you want a drink now? I said, no. Listen, it was my pride that held me. See, Jesus here was thirsty. He was suffering. There's nothing that compares to when you are thirsty. Anybody got anything to add to what I just said right now? Anybody? Go ahead and wait for the mic. You can just wait for the mic.
Just how pride in my own life has hurt me throughout the years, like something that I've struggled with, right? Like just pride of like, well, I'm not going to do that or whatever, right? The case may be. But in the long run, I've realized like how much it hurts not only me, but other people too, yeah. You know? And so checking yourself is so important about that, like, because pride will kill you.
Pride will kill you. Now, we know that it was not, we know that that was not what was killing Jesus. It was the fact that, you know, he comes up and he's thirsty. And it's amazing that it's his anguish of spirit was not realized until now that all things were fulfilled and accomplished. Everything had to be fulfilled. Now, at that moment, Jesus prayed for water. After the Lord had attained victory over the spiritual aspects, now everything that he was facing, then he cried out, "I thirst." Imagine you could have been the one to get Jesus that water where they put it on a sponge. You're that soldier who brought Jesus that water, who now is able to hear the words directly from Christ. "When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink." Listen to me. It's amazing what happens when we begin to do things for others. It changes our aspects, folks. It changes our lives. It changes everything about our lives. "I was thirsty." I had a need and you came in. There was all these different people all around me, but nobody wanted to fulfill that need. But yet you came in and you met the need. This morning, every single one of us, listen, every single one of us have an opportunity to be able to meet at least one person's needs. You have an opportunity to minister. But you know, when if we are like the rest of the people that were there seeing the spectacle of the crucifixion, only one person brought the water. Many of people, if the truth be told, many of people will be like possibly everybody else. But will you be like that one that said, "The Lord is thirsty. I'm going to meet his need. I'm going to minister. I'm going to take the eyes off of myself." Listen, it's hard to take the eyes off of you, isn't it? It's difficult because you know what you have need of. So how can you try to meet somebody else if you're like, "Hey, I need help with this guy"? Come on, listen. You're asking me to help you when I need help myself. Go ahead.
I was dealing with pride when we first started the cleanup crew. Pastor Chai asked us, "Oh, whoever wants to join, let's go meeting over here." I didn't go. I was out there talking. But my wife signed me up anyways. So I was like, wife. Hey, I don't even like to clean up in the house. Why would I like to clean up here? But I didn't understand this is my purpose, is to serve, you know, the things of God and to be a help and the benefit to the things of the church. So my pride gets in the way sometimes from doing that, and I've learned that it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's about serving God and about having a purpose in this place, to fulfilling that purpose in this place too.
Listen, how many of us, he made a perfect statement. We don't even like to clean up almost that around. We don't like to clean up around our house. But I got to clean up after you? But how many know that that's humbling? That really is. Here I am. I'm trying to scrub the toilet in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. And you're just scrubbing that toilet. Huh? Oh, that's Mark. Go ahead.
I remember one time when my husband and I were going through some real hard times, and we had gotten in a big fight, and I was complaining to God, you know, if you want this marriage to work, you know, you see what he says, you hear what he says, and you see what he does to me and all that. I'm complaining to God, and God kept telling me that I was supposed to love my husband. And I go, why? It's not doing anything. You know, there's no good in it. I'm not seeing anything out of this. And God told me, and it stabs me to this day, well, you're the one that calls yourself a Christian.
So if we are to be Christians are, the word Christian is what? So if we are to be Christians, then we are to be Christ-like. We have to take advantage of the opportunity to be able to minister to somebody else's need. Jesus now. See, we're talking about the human Jesus. He had been up there for 6+ hours in the anguish, the misery. They're there. And now Jesus had met everybody else's needs. And now he needs his needs fulfilled. Let me ask you a question this morning. We will go to a heights to be able to meet the needs of Jesus if Jesus was asking, but how are we going to meet the needs of somebody else if somebody else is asking? See, we're talking about the human Jesus, right? As men, when I say men, it's men and women. We are just like Jesus, flesh and bones. So Jesus was birth. He was fully God, but the Bible says that he was fully man. See, if it came up and Jesus came up and he came through those doors and he said, who will meet my needs? I guarantee you, every single person would be like, me, I want to be the one, but if you do it onto him, why can't we do it onto somebody else? Let me bring it a different way. Pastor asked us to do something. Pastor, I'll do it. Somebody else asked us to do something. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're going somewhere here now. Somebody else asked us to do something. Who are you? You're not the pastor. Who are you? You can't tell me what to do. What can I tell you? If you did it unto me, you do it unto the least of him. See, we can go ahead and do things unto somebody that's in a position, but can you do something for somebody else without having an attitude? Because, can I tell you, sometimes it might be that I myself might ask somebody else, and that somebody else might just ask you, but they're doing it in my place or in the leadership's place. Listen, I've heard it all, folks. I've heard people come up. I've been here longer than you. You can't tell me what to do. I've been here too long. You see the badge, old saint? Right? You see the badge that says old saint, new convert? You can't tell me what to do. Can we meet the need and do it with the right heart? I'm just doing it because if I don't get this done, then he's going to tell or she's going to tell pastor, and pastor's going to come, and now we're going to have a conversation, and now this conversation is going to go somewhere else, and I don't want to go in there and sit down with pastor. Right? That's the way we do things. I don't want to go in there and talk to him, so I'm just going to get it done. But I'm not happy. We're going to close, folks. We're going to get us to pray a little bit before we start our service. See, this morning, we have the opportunity to meet somebody's need. You can have an opportunity to minister. That's what all this was speaking to you and I. When Jesus said, I thirst. It was his need needed to be met, and somebody met the need. Could we meet somebody's need and do it with a right heart? Because everything has to do about the condition of our heart. See, and as much as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. So if we do it unto the least of them, Jesus said, you're doing it for me. So every time that we do things, we're doing things unto not man, but unto the Lord. Because we are ministering. And can I tell you? We minister in more ways than just being in church, folks. We minister in everything we do in life. Because we are examples of Christ. When people cannot see Jesus, they see you as a representation of Jesus. So if they see you and I doing things, listen, can I tell you? Sometimes we can be in a restaurant and we can have a bad attitude, and you're going to come up and you're going to try to tell them, God bless you. God bless you. Weren't you just beep, whoop, beep. And now you want to tell me, God bless me? You know, this gentleman, I went to go change my oil, and he was working there. And all I said these words, Jesus loves you. God bless you. You know, after those words, This is a guy that was working there at the dealership. He comes up and he sits next to me, and we have about a two-hour conversation while I'm waiting for my oil change. And I said, what told you that I was a Christian? He said, because you told me the words, God bless you. That's it. I didn't witness to him. All I said is, God bless you. And he sat down, and afterwards I told him, I said, what told you that I was a Christian? He said, because you told me those words, God bless you. See, when you and I go up and we speak things and then we are a bad representation, how can we meet the needs of somebody if we are there doing what we do, folks? You are always ministering, whether you and I like it or not. Everywhere that you and I are. If we're at the King Super, I was going to say HEB, but King Super. If you're at Save-A-Lot, Walmart. If you're at Safeway, I can't say Tom Thumb, Safeway. When you and I are there, we are ministering, folks. We have to be good ministers. Because as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Anybody have any other comments? Anything? Right here.
I think, like, throughout my salvation, like, that has happened to me where I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to do this to shut this person up, or, you know, I don't want to hear it, or, you know, we have to do what we got to do. But God ended up checking my heart, because I remember being like, it felt like so heavy to do it, and I felt like bitter and mad about it. And God's like, because you're not doing it with the right heart. And so I had to check myself and be like, you know what, God, like, forgive me and help me to do it with the right heart. Help me to do it onto you, you know, because man will always fail you. You know what I mean? And it's you know, but when you do it onto God, it's like such a different perspective and such a different, you know, approach to things. And so now, like, when I do things, I'm like, God, like, just help me to honor you in this area. You know what I mean? Because we can get caught up in that. Like, I'm just going to do this.
You can get that funk.
Yeah, you can get
that funk. I got the funk. I got the funk, right? We can have the funk. I know that's not the way the words go, but amen. Anybody else before we close? Anybody else? Jesse?
It even says in the Bible, I'm not sure what scripture it is, about if you have offense against your brethren, that you need to go take care of that before you go to prayer. And if you're in prayer with that offense in your heart, I mean, you can pray and miss. Yeah. You know, it says you can pray and miss. Like, you can be out of alignment. And you can't be in alignment with God when you're...
And you're trying to get yourself straight.
And you have that offense against the brethren. Instead of going and say, look, I'm sorry I offended you, or I'm sorry this happened, or whatever. Make that right, and then go in the prayer room and ask God for forgiveness and make everything right in the church.
Anybody else?
I mean, there's one point in my, like, last September, I guess, around January, when I had the wrong motive. I mean, like, I had to check myself almost every day, because I'm out there, I'm out in the field, we're, like, doing outreach or street preaching. Like, I talk about this in the men's discipleship already, where you need to understand where your heart is at, where's your motive. It's not the, because I'm not out, for my motive is not, I'm not out there to be in front of people. I'm not out there because pastor told me, because I had to do good when pastor is around. Like, you have to do it all around, you know. That's pretty much it.
So yesterday we go out and we're parked in the street. Listen, folks, we're parked in the street. The street is city property, right? You can park anywhere as long as it doesn't say the words no parking. Sometimes the street posts different things that say no park. This guy yesterday comes up, and he comes up and he says, why didn't you park on the other side of the street? Anton and Bea, they're coming out of their car. They're trying to get their kids. And the guy is out there like, hey, buddy, how come you didn't park over there? Well, guess who had to go and knock on that person's door? Right? That was me. That could have been a very bad situation if things would have been said wrongly, right? Because now you're going to be the one to, I'm thinking, God, I don't want to go knock on this person's door. that person was already upset that we even parked. How is he going to feel when I go and knock on his door? See, that's what happens, folks, when we have a bad attitude and people see it. And then we got to go and tell them about Jesus. Right? And now they're going to be like, you see the words, no soliciting, get out of my house. Get out of my house. Get out of my face. Get out of my life. I don't want your Jesus, because if you are representing Jesus, I want nothing to do with Jesus. And that's what they're going to say. It could have been different. If something would have been said, Anton just got on his, he had his little Range Rover. If something would have been said, it could have been a whole lot different, folks. When we say things, things can be a lot different. That's why we have to do it onto the least of these. If you're doing it onto them, you're doing it onto me. Service at 11:00.